Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with 11 Action. I am Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me today. Hope everybody's having a good Sunday. We are back in the studio with my good brother from another mother, Jim Landley, or as I like to call him, Dr. J.
Yeah, I was privileged to be conferred with a honoris causa doctorate of ministry. So what a real humbling experience to be given an honorary doctorate. So thanks.
And I've said before, man, I couldn't think of anybody who deserves it more than you, bro. I love you, man, and just appreciate you. Appreciate your heart for the ministry, because you are one who could have gone on and got his doctorate, but you chose the mission field, which is, in my opinion, a much higher calling.
Yeah, amen.
And man, we just praise God. He bestows his blessings in so many ways.
Yes.
And he's just awesome. And we just thank him for this opportunity to come together. If you missed last week, you need to listen to it. Jim and I were together last week, and we're talking about Jim and Keitha being full-time with Love in Action now and heading to the Philippines. And we talked a lot about what was going on there. If you missed last week, I really encourage you to search for the Love in Action podcast, and you can find that almost anywhere you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. I don't even know all of them, but it's out there on most of those podcast mediums, I guess you would call it. And so just look it up, Love in Action podcast. Encourage you to listen to it. It was real good. It really enjoyed it. And this week we're going to talk more international, but we're going to get into more of really what it's like over there.
Yeah.
And what you hear us talking about, we're upbeat, of course, because we love Jesus, but it's not fun and games. It's serious ministry, and which all ministry is, but it's, you know, there's some dangerous situations that our brothers and sisters are in that we have found ourselves in before. And so we want to share about what God's doing, and also some really exciting things that are going on in the 1040 window.
Amen.
And so let's get going, Jim, with an opening prayer. Would you pray for us?
Yeah, Father, thank you again for this opportunity to just discuss your work, your love for the world. I thank you, God, that you put it on the hearts of people to write that you so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I knew you loved me, Lord, when I heard the gospel, but I had no idea how much you loved the world until I went out in it. And thank you, God, for your love for the world, for your love for people in Asia and East Asia and the West and just everywhere, Lord. Your love goes and permeates throughout your entire creation. And we're so grateful for it, God. We're so grateful. And so, Holy Spirit, guide and protect us, lead us, give us wisdom as we discuss your work and the small, small part and privilege that we're allowed to play in it. And so, thank you, Jesus, for this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And I always love it when you mention how you realize how much God truly loved the world when you went out into it and saw it. And man, that is so true. You're in the middle of nowhere, India, and you see God just loving on these people. And you come back to the U.S. and you can be in the middle of nowhere, Houston County, because there are such places.
There are. I've been there.
And you see God loving on people. And so, yeah, God is everywhere at all times, and he loves us. And it's just awesome. The international ministry. And before we get rolling, before I forget, not that I ever forget anything, before I forget, Love in Action, we actually have two websites. LoveinActionMinistries.com is an awesome landing spot for you to go see what we're doing locally. And you can also see internationally as well. And the donation page is on there too, where you can give, shows you where to mail checks to, or you can give via PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. But then we also have a website that's just dedicated solely to international ministries. We just recently launched it. It's LoveinActionInternational.org, LoveInActionInternational.org, and you can go in there and look even more at what's going on over there. There's a blog up there as well, updating things that are going on. So I encourage you to check that out. And the 1040 window, as we talked about last week, the resistant belt. It's hard, not just because of people who are resistant to the gospel, which Muslim, Hindu, animist,
Buddhist.
There's so many people that's never heard the gospel, but it's hard to get to people. The geography.
Right.
It's hard.
It is. You have different, you know, weather. It can be very, very dry, very, very hot. It can be dry and cold. It can be very, very hot and humid. You can have conditions where it's a developing country, a third world country. So access to even food and things are very, very limited. Electricity, you have it, you don't. Scheduled brownouts, you know. Oh, you're not going to have electricity for the next 5 days. Water even is a big issue. Some places, most places, you can't drink the water. You have to filter the water. So, you know, and then there's, of course, the persecution, which we'll get into later.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunities overseas, and we are so blessed to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ with indigenous brothers and sisters in the Philippines and Myanmar and China and Pakistan, India, Nepal, and, of course, back here with Brother Pierre in Haiti. And so there's just so many opportunities. And Jim, let's talk about, before we get into some exciting projects that's going on, let's talk about really the condition, though, how people live day to day overseas. Because sometimes here in the U.S., a lot of times here in the U.S., we don't see that. We don't even hear about what we're about to talk about.
Right.
Because it's so remote. And we need to know how to pray as believers, how to pray for our brothers and sisters around this world. And so let's give them a picture of what's going on overseas. What country you want to start in?
Well, let's start with Myanmar.
Okay.
In Myanmar, right now, there's a civil war that's been going on for, I believe, like over 50 years. It's actually escalated with a few years ago. In 2019, there was an election. And the people unanimously elected more democratic-type leadership. And the military decided, well, we want control. So they just basically took it back. And then that escalated the fighting. So huge civil war going on. And so as a result of that, the escalation of the prices on things is absolutely astronomical.
That's ridiculous.
When I first went there, it was, I think, 1,000 baht to a dollar. And now it's something like 3,000 baht to a dollar. And then just the availability of rice, like just getting it, buying it, is like a huge problem. Water, getting potable water, is a huge problem. And so because of war, what that usually does is it means it decreases the population, the male population, and it increases the female and children population. So who's going to care for them? Because the man is the main, in places like that, usually the main breadwinner, or sometimes both family members have to work. And so they, you've got all these children that are now suddenly without parents because of the war, and they're street urchins, or they're just killed, or they die of starvation, or whatever. Landmines are another issue. And so these pastors there, they take them in. And so we have a pastor and a wife who's just barely getting by, and they're trying to take care of 15, 20 kids. So I want you to imagine what that's like. Here's a pastor. He's trying to survive. He's called to ministry. He's getting a little bit of money in every week, but it's barely enough to take care of him and his wife and his children, let alone these 12, 15, 20 kids that he's dealing with. And in very harsh conditions, there's bombs going off, there's machine gun fire. All that stuff's happening while they're trying to minister to these kids. So it's a very challenging environment.
It is, and we see that in the orphanage that we're blessed to sponsor in Myanmar, where we have a precious couple, a pastor and his wife,
right. And
they have three beautiful children. One of them's named after my Martha.
That's right.
Yeah. And they also have another 12 children that they take care of, and these children come from all over Myanmar. And it's just, you know, it's a situation that we're supposed to be taking care of orphans, right? Isn't that, we read
orphans
that in James,
and widows,
right? Yes. And so, you know, we're blessed to be involved with that as well. And in Myanmar, with the war going on, Jim, you're connected with some folks who are doing some serious work over there. And it's,
right.
And you've heard from them recently, and it's just, it's gotten really, really bad with the war.
Yeah, so we volunteer occasionally with a group called the Free Burma Rangers. And what they're doing is they're training the local Burmese folks to be rangers so that they can reconnoiter where the junta military is headed so that they can go ahead of them and warn villagers that the army's coming. So with the hope that they can get out and they can get their women and children out, the men out before they get there and bomb and burn down everything and then put in landmines. So they're out there just, they're trying to save lives. they're trying to help them. And then the people that are displaced, they help them set up refugee camps so that they can go in and get food and medical and things like that. They also have chaplains that go in and do work as well. And so we happen to know some of these folks personally. They're friends of ours. They've been to our home and had meals with us. We've helped them in any way we can. And they're right now in a particular part of Myanmar, and they're being bombed. They're being attacked. And it's a really bad situation, and so they need prayer. And so I've had some conversations back and forth in the last couple of days. And, you know, when you get a one-word phrase, like I reached out to a particular friend and said, hey, how's it going? And the only thing he sent me back was bad, period. And then the next one that came back was very, very bad. I can't describe with text about how bad it is. So please be praying for those folks there in Myanmar, the Free Burma Rangers, who are really doing an incredible work. And if you don't know about them, just look them up on YouTube. There's a blurb, a little video about what they do, and you can find out what they do, and just praying for them.
So Myanmar is one of the eight countries that we're blessed to come alongside our brothers and sisters in situations that are very, very bad,
yes,
as he said. And that's somebody who knows bad situations, who have seen it. Let's go over to India.
Okay.
And let's paint a picture of what's going on in India, because the persecution in India has ramped up year after year after year. And with Modi being a prime minister over, what's his second, third term now?
That's right.
Things have gotten even worse from the radicals who, when they go out and persecute, even kill Christians, there's really no punishment. It's just like you turn your head and look the other way and they can keep going. But persecution of India, the Christians in India, the last report I saw, the new one hadn't come out from Open Doors yet for this year, but I think it was 10th in the world as most persecuted country for Christians to be in. And India used not to be that high. It used to be relatively safe. It's never been safe, but it's been relatively safe until, you know, gosh, these past 10 years really has gotten worse, and now it's really ramped up now.
Yeah, my understanding is that the current government made sort of a proclamation that they were going to stamp out Christianity by a certain year. I don't remember exactly what year that was. I think it may have been 2021, 22, something like that. And so there was a sort of non-stated understanding that if a Christian goes to a village and does any kind of evangelism, you can do whatever you want to them and we won't retaliate. So the pastors that we have there experience a lot of persecution, and it can come in many forms. Some of them are beaten in villages. They have rocks thrown at them. Their kids are persecuted in school. Some of them are killed. We had a brother that was in a northern area of India that was beaten so bad, they didn't think he was going to make it. Had he not covered himself up, he probably would be with the Lord today instead of with us. And so it's becoming more and more apparent that the persecution in India is ramping up. And so our brothers and sisters in Christ there who are trying to minister and teach and do evangelism and train pastors are facing terrible persecution, and we need to pray for them. And you know, I'm just grateful to Love in Action that they can send people like my wife and I, and then and Ken and Martha to actually go to that country and come alongside them and encourage them and pray with them and bring them help and teach them how to, you know, how to thrive in that kind of persecution. I lived in China for 8.5 years. I know what persecution looks yes. like. I do, firsthand. I know how bad it can get. And so with that experience, I can go back and I can say, here's some things I learned. Here's some things I learned that helped. I hope that helps you. If you're already doing that, great. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you, brother. Yeah. You know, and I'm just glad we have that opportunity.
Amen. And we have a friend who's a pastor over there in India too, Glenn, and he was in Manipur, which has been in the headlines quite a bit for all the riots and the persecution, a lot of bad stuff going on there. And this guy came into his house and just attacked him because he shares the gospel and was in horrible shape. But this is the power of prayer that we keep reiterating, that we need everybody praying. They flew him to a hospital out of Manipur. I forget the city they flew him to. He lived. His legs were really messed up. His knees were really messed up. A lot of pain. But now he is walking.
Oh, and, praise God.
And the pain is gone.
Amen.
And you know where he wants to go now to finish his work?
Manipur.
Yes.
You can't stop a missionary.
No.
you can't. I know. I resemble that remark.
You do.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens to you. The Rock would say. You're going because of the Rock.
The
right?
Rock, yes.
The Rock, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, yeah, I'm just grateful for men of God who will persevere no matter what.
Amen.
They understand the urgency. They understand the need. And so nothing's going to hold them back short of death.
Amen.
And we need that kind of commitment, don't we?
We do, and we need to be committed like that. And I know you and Keith are, for sure. Martha and I are, and that's all bragging on the Lord there. Right. And we were in a country back in September, Nepal. We'll share that quickly, and then I want to jump into some things that are going on over there that we see God doing
yeah.
in the midst of all this
persecution.
But you know, Nepal's not a Christian-friendly place, especially if you're a pastor.
That's right. We heard firsthand accounts from pastors there that talked about if it's discovered that you're a pastor actively doing evangelism and those things, you will be arrested and you will go to jail for 5 years. I mean, that's just a unspoken rule. It's going to happen if they discover it. Another thing that I was surprised to discover, Ken, when our wives and we were there, we had the opportunity to baptize 17 people.
Yes.
And before we went to baptize them, and this was done in a river, the men of the church, they brought us all together in a church, and they said, look, we're not allowing any of the women to go down to the river because there's people there and in the river. And if they decide that they see what you're doing and they don't like it, they will get the men of the village. They will come and they will beat them. And we don't want you there. And so, you know, we were like, well, if you're going to suffer, we're your brothers and sisters. We're going to come right down there with you.
Yeah.
And we went right down alongside with them, and we baptized those folks in the face of folks just on the other side of some brush,
side, right.
Looking right through it at us.
Right around the bend.
Right around the bend, watching us baptize these people, and us knowing, you know, it doesn't matter.
No.
But the main thing is they're following in obedience to our Savior who said,
amen,
be baptized, and we got to be a part of that. But it's a reality for them.
Yeah, it is. And thankfully, really, the only bad thing that happened in that was I got stuck in the mud, remember?
Yeah. Which, you know, if you know Ken, he's always stuck in the mud.
I'm always stuck in the mud.
So.
But yeah, just, I mean, it was a awesome, beautiful, and intense at the same time. That's reality in these countries, and there's other countries we can share, but we're going to run out of time. So I think we've painted a pretty good picture that you can see why we want your prayers, why we need your prayers, why our brothers and sisters need your prayers overseas. And in the midst of all this persecution, that's where the gospel grows, this persecution. It grows. You know, you go all the way back to the apostles, you know, the first church.
Right.
So much persecution going on, but, man, the growth took place. And we see that happening. You know, China, that's just the underground church just exploding. And, you know, the government is the main source of persecution there.
Right.
But, you know, I was so excited when we word this carefully because I don't want to mess up anything because, you know, we were able to help our brother over there with some material. How about that?
Right, some resources.
Some resources.
Yeah.
Recently, just last month and this month too, actually. And, oh, wow. That excited me to no end.
Yeah.
Because this is going to help lead others to Christ and disciple them.
Right.
At the same time. So, you know, we see that going on in China. And then in Nepal, oh, my gosh.
We saw salvations.
Oh, yes.
We saw people delivered.
Yes.
We saw encouragement. And, you know, just there's nothing like watching Ken up there preaching. And then share the gospel clearly, and then ask people if they want to receive, and then see people go, yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that is so awesome to see these people respond, you know?
And I appreciate Jim's grace because I don't get to get out into the mission field every day like Jim. So I told Jim, I want you to share. And he said, well, you keep going because I get to go out
here
every day.
Yeah, I get to do this all the time, so
but,
please.
But that last service, I knew you were supposed to preach that, and I wouldn't give in. And, man, did God work through you and the team and that service, and just incredible what we saw God do that day. Mm. But something that's so exciting that's going on now in Nepal. And this is an example of what you here in Dothan, the Wiregrass, can do. There's Pastor Kresh, our lead pastor over there, such a wonderful young man, 30 years old. That's young to Jim and I. But he said, hey, he has such a heart for those who are in the slums because he understands. And you have to understand that those who live in the slums in Nepal are thought by the people, and the government especially, to be lower than the animals, the cows and the goats and the monkeys. These people are lower in their eyes than those animals. So that's how low they are. You know, that this caste system is just, that they have in Nepal and India is just, I call it evil. It's horrible. So, you know, these people have no chance for anything except to live in those slums and to die. That, you know, live, hope they get to survive however many years and then they die. Mm-hmm. So Kresh is just, ever since we've known him, has had this heart to want to reach out to them, be able to do something, to help them, to lift them up, to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ first and foremost, and to help lift them up out of the slums. And when we were there, we were talking about, you know, a residential ministry and how that would look and how that would take place. And a couple that lives here in the Wiregrass contacted me and said, Ken, we want to do something in Nepal. You know, they heard us talking about Nepal and sharing testimonies. And I said, well, okay, let's meet. And I can tell you about a certain project that is on our hearts and on Pastor Kresh's heart. So we met, and they said, we want to fully fund that.
Wow.
And that's just one couple. And so what's happening now is now we have a home where we can bring in about 16 to 18, mainly youth, young people, who are in the slums, bring them out into their, and you've seen the pictures, and it's a really nice.
It is.
Nice place. I shouldn't be shocked by God, but he shocks me all the time.
Yeah, they're moving on up.
You're moving on up, yeah. I don't know if it's on the east side or what, but anyway, yeah. And so they have a bed, they have a bathroom, they have a kitchen, we have somebody cooking for them, but we're sharing the gospel.
That's right.
And making disciples of them, and then we're going to help them with education and with
vocational
jobs. Yeah.
Yep.
And so just, you know, the whole thing. And, man, I get teared up talking about it, brother, because it's awesome because now these people know that they are loved, that they're not scum of the earth, that there's a God in heaven that loves them and has a life for them here and forever. And it took one couple locally to say, and to say fully funded, it's $1,800 a month.
That's not chump change.
Yeah, that's not chump change.
Especially in this economy.
Yes. And so, but, you know, imagine if other couples out there said, I can do, and maybe they couldn't do that much, but say, you know, I can give X amount towards what
that
you're
effort.
Doing in India or in Philippines or wherever. You know, it all comes together. And, Jim, we have that saying that we learned from Pastor June in the Philippines, what are you willing to do for one more soul?
Yeah, and just think of the impact. You know, it's hard to know which one or all of those young men who are being ministered to might end up being used mightily for the Lord. You know, I think about my own life. I grew up in a non-Christian home. My father was very anti-Bible, anti-church. And at 7 years old, in July of 1970, a vacation Bible school bus came through our neighborhood, and my parents got in an argument. My mother was Catholic, and she told my dad, you know, my boys are going to learn something about God. And next thing I know, we're on a bus. First time ever to a place we'd only heard negative things about. And 1 hour, whew, 1 hour, Mrs. Bell, I'll never forget that precious lady, shared that there was a Father in heaven that loved me and what he did through Jesus Christ. And I prayed to receive him that day. And even though it would be many years later that I would be discipled, Mrs. Bell will never know. I never got back to her to tell her, but she will never know the impact that 1 hour of her sharing with me would have in 21 countries.
Yeah.
Literally thousands and thousands of people coming to faith and hundreds of churches planted and thousands discipled and thousands encouraged and, you know, in 21 countries. Her 1 hour resulted in that. And can you imagine the impact your $1 might have or your one prayer every week might have? And think about Krish and the next Nepalese Billy Graham or whatever.
You never know. You never know whose life you're going to touch. You will one day, when we're in heaven, and they come up to you and say thank you because you came or because you gave. You know, I believe God's going to let us know who was involved in helping us come to faith. And we know that God's drawing us to us, and the Holy Spirit is opening our hearts. But God wants us to be part of His work. Does He need Jim and Ken? No. Does He want Jim and Ken? Yes. Does He want you? Yes. Because He wants us to be part of what He's doing. And I'm telling you, when you are a part of it, it's hard to explain in words how you feel. Knowing that you got a little part to play that. And I always say a little part, but to that person who's being saved, it's a big part of seeing a life change for eternity. And, you know, I received a message from Kresh just the other day, and he said, God is breathing new life into the church's expression of worship in the Himalayas. This is in Nepal. He said, thank you for your sacrificial love and prayers over God's people in Nepal. Please pray that these believers will continue to grow in their faith and be a light to those around them, sharing the hope and love of Jesus with those in need.
Amen.
Man, that's awesome what God is doing everywhere. And, Jim, we are out of time. We could keep going into other countries. But I think people get a good idea of what's going on over there. And just want to encourage y'all again to pray. Please, please pray for our brothers and sisters overseas. Please pray for Jim and Keitha as they are now going to be overseas. And actually, when this airs, Jim, you and Keitha are already overseas. Right. And I'm missing you already. And please, please pray. And please also pray about giving financially, because you've heard us share just a handful of stories. And there's many, many, many. If we had time, we could write books of what we've seen God do. And but your gift, it may be $1,800, it may be $18, you know, it may be $1.80. Whatever you give unto the Lord, and help us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through acts of compassion in that 1040 window. So many of you give to help here locally, and thank you. And we need you. We need you here locally helping Amen. Us proclaim the gospel. And please, you know, you can give locally too. When you give, you're impacting lives for eternity. And so just want to encourage you again, visit loveinactionministries.com/donate. loveinactionministries.com/donate. And that'll take you to our donation page. Shows you where you can give, send checks to P.O. Box 85, Dothan, Alabama, 36302. The link for PayPal, you give in that way. You can even set up PayPal to give monthly, but which Martha and I do that too, and it just automatically, the gift is given. And Venmo, the Cash App, those are also available to give as well. You can give to help support the work Jim and Keith is doing. Just write Jim and Keith Landley on your checks or on your memo of your checks, or even in PayPal, there's a little drop box. You can pick Jim and Keith Landley. And so, but we just encourage you, please, please help us spread the gospel so more people can hear about Jesus, so more people can give their lives to Jesus Christ. And Jim, we are out of time. We're going to come back next week because there's a topic we want to talk about.
And
it's very good. So if you're experiencing trials, tribulations, going through things in your life, you don't want to miss next week. 10:30 a.m. right here on the Joy FM. You can also, again, check out our podcast. But Jim, thank you again for being here this week.
Thank you, Ken.
And hope everybody has a great rest of the day. And always remember, as you go through this coming week, whether you're going through something good, going through something bad, remember Jesus loves you so much. And I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.